Hello and welcome to another episode of The Living Philosophy. I thought I would just give an attempt at encapsulating the journey that I was on at walking the Camino. And yeah, I originally sat down to kind of like script this and I started giving a description of what the Camino is and the kind of history of it. And that ended up just opening up into more and more stuff. So I think I might actually make a separate episode because there's a really interesting confluence point around the Camino and the history of Europe that I hadn't really thought about, where with Charlemagne and the Moors coming up through Spain and all the way up to the discovery of the New World and how the Camino was a pivot point in this turning point in European history out of the Middle Ages into the Renaissance and the colonial era. So yeah, I think I might leave that for a separate episode. So I thought I will just give an account of what my experience of the Camino is. I guess on a basic level, if you've never heard of the Camino, Camino is one of the three great pilgrimages of Christianity, along with the journey to Rome and the journey to Jerusalem. And it's said that in Santiago de Compostela, which is a city in northern Spain, that one of the apostles of Jesus, James, very appropriately named for me, James is buried in Santiago. Santiago is a local form of Santiago Jacobus or whatever. It's a Spanish way of Saint James. So yes, this journey across the north of Spain, culminating in this place in Santiago, or you can go beyond it to Finisterre, which is where land meets ocean, kind of like a Finisterre is the comes from the Roman for end of the world, fin and terra being world. So kind of this end point, which is more associated with like a pagan ending, which I liked. So walked to Finisterre and it was beautiful. But yeah, I mean, I don't even know really, yeah, where to start. So I guess what I walked walked the Camino Francais. So it starts on the border between Spain and France. So on the French side, a place called Saint-Jean-de-Pied-de-Port. You cross the Pyrenees on the first day into Spain at this old monastery, medieval monastery, at a place called Roncesvalles, which also Charlemagne had a battle there in the conquering of the Moors, or the fighting of the Moors in medieval Europe. So like talking 9th century. And yeah, so it's this great historical thing. And the entire journey is incredibly historical. And it's kind of was massive during medieval times. I think 500,000 people were going. And now, yeah, that kind of obviously waned down over time, and it was kind of on the out, I think, in the 20th century. And then sometime around 50s or 60s, some guy wrote a book and kind of resurged interest around it. And then, yeah, it's just been growing and growing. Paulo Coelho, the guy who wrote The Alchemist, wrote a book about it, set on the Camino. And there is this, despite the fact that most of the people you meet along the way are not religious, there's a lot of religious people obviously as well, but there's still this energy of pilgrimage. It's still a very, very spiritual thing, I think, even when, yeah, a lot of the time people are not spiritual, or and yet they're on a journey. So it's this, there is something, I still believe there's something magical about the Camino. And yeah, more than my hike in Ireland, which back in 2020, I walked for 40 days along the southwest. I walked all the peninsulas of Ireland along the southwest coast and met no one, basically, because it was just in the middle of lockdown. So very few people, walked alone for most of the thing. A lot of rain, naturally. But yeah, Spain, the Camino is just a different hike. I think this, for one, it's this incredibly, especially the Camino Francés, is this incredibly social thing where you're constantly meeting the same people because everyone's on the same journey. So that's one element. But then, yeah, I don't know, there's just something about it. There's a certain magic in the Camino, which is unlike anything else I've experienced. So yeah, you walk over to Roncesvalles and then you walk through a number of regions across the north of Spain. So there's the Navarra region, which is where you start, kind of mountainous, a lot of like horses with bells around their neck. which is really cool and really interesting. You come into Pamplona, which obviously is famous from Hemingway's book Fiesta for the bull running. And then you come on to the first major city of Logroño, which is where, you've entered the Rioja region. So you've moved from Navarre into Rioja, and this is a famous wine producing region. And then not far beyond that, a couple of days after Logroño, you enter the domain of Castilla y León, which it kind of makes up about half the Camino. There's this section in that called the Meseta, which is this known for this long, flat sea, as far as the eye can see, these seas of wheat and oats. And you come through a number of cities there, Burgos and León, and finally you enter the Galician region, which apparently these were the people who colonized Ireland. The Gaels is what the old Irish call themselves, and our language is Gaelge. So Galicia, it all seems to be connected, apparently genetically as well. And the landscape as well is incredibly Irish. So yeah, walk through Galicia and then you come to Santiago, and you keep walking beyond Santiago and you come to Finisterre. So that was the journey itself. Incredibly varied. Each section was its own completely different kind of thing, like from the mountains of Navarre, the vineyards of Rioja, and then yeah, the wheat fields and the oat fields, just as far as the eye can see, just incredible vistas. And then Galicia was so much like walking through Ireland, not just because it was raining for that week, but it's all dairy farming and very like much smaller fields, not like the massive wheat fields. So really picturesque, very, very, very Irish and beautiful. And then I found the section from Santiago to Finisterre to be its own landscape again, I guess, approaching the ocean. So yeah, it's a very varied hike and just incredible beauty. And with the Camino Francés in particular, very well catered to. So for one, it's really cheap. It's really like affordable to do. You get a cup of coffee for like €1.20 or €1.50. And there's albergues, so hostels for pilgrims all along the way, and between €7 and €15. So there's all incredible amount of accommodation along the way, from big towns to tiny villages to hamlets in the middle of nowhere. And yeah, it's just this constant stream of pilgrims coming through, and there's this wonderful community that develops, that you start at a certain point, and then there's people that I might see for a couple of weeks, and I'm like, oh, that's just this camaraderie when you run into someone again, because you're on a journey together. Even if you don't see each other, you might not know each other that well. You might not even speak the same language, and it's just again, yeah, there's something just really special in that. So, yeah, it was a beautiful hike, and yeah, I guess worth talking about what I was doing it for, what was my intention kind of going into it. So back in 2018, my aunt called me and wanted to know if I'd like to hike the Camino, do a week of it. And I thought, why not? I love hiking, so it sounded good. I'd heard about the Camino. I went to a Jesuit school when I was in secondary school, so there was talks, there was a priest that used to go on Camino, and with like kids in, I think when they were 18, just after, at the end of school, or maybe it was transition, I think it was at the end of school. And yeah, I'd heard of it, knew about it, and just it had never really grabbed me. I guess I wasn't into hiking then. It wasn't until I went to Scotland that I got into hiking, and so yeah, it didn't really grab me. So but when my aunt said it to me, I was like, yeah, 100%. And so myself, her, one of her friends, and a couple of other people from Limerick, who I'd never met before but had heard of, and just ended up being this amazing group of people, and had one of the best weeks of hiking I've ever had back in 2018. And so we went again in 2019, did the next week. So we walked as far as Logroño the first year, the second year, to beyond Burgos, to Sahagún, actually, and which is the halfway point. And then last year we walked from Sahagún to a place called Via Franca del Bierzo. And so we had this plan to finish it off this year. And I'd always thought I'd love to walk the whole thing and do a lot of it solo, or the whole thing solo. So this year I just thought, yeah, I think I can make it work. It's a big dream of mine. And yeah, I just said I'd commit to it. So ended up doing the whole thing. And yeah, it's kind of interesting to think of, well, what is, when people ask you, how was your Camino or how was the journey? And it's a really hard question to answer, because it's such a varied experience. And the way I've kind of come around to say, and it's also like asking someone how an ayahuasca experience was, or how a 10-day silent meditation retreat was. It's very hard. It's a liminal experience, and it's an experience of the breakdown of structure, of going through this space that is disconnected from your normal life. It's a spiritual journey, even when it's not, to take that much time away from your normal way of being. There's something really powerful about that that's inherently spiritual. And so there's something really hard to communicate when you come back from an ayahuasca ceremony, or from meditation retreat, or from Camino. It's unless the person has experienced what you're talking about, or it feels, yeah, you could just talk about it forever. Because again, like, I've been away for 6-7 weeks, so it's very hard to boil down and to communicate what I've gone through when I'm still very much processing what I went through and what the outcome of all that is. So it's a really tough question to answer, but it's transformative, I guess. So yeah, it's a really hard question to answer. Then, how was your Camino? I guess I'll start with what my intention was going into it, and why I wanted to walk the Camino. So I found, after my Irish hike in 2020, it was this incredibly transformative experience. Not really during it. During the walk, I was completely alone. I was just reading Irish mythology. I was trying to limit my input, so I wasn't listening to music. It was just me, my backpack, and I was camping all along the way. And I was just writing reams and reams of poetry. And yeah, it was just this experience, I feel like, of just letting the dust settle in my mind and seeing what would come up, and then dealing with that. And it was a very challenging experience because of, well, the weighted bag and the camping and the logistics of all that, and it being during COVID. So that it was tough. But I found at the end, I'd come out of like a Jungian phase throughout my 20s. And just at that point in my late 20s, going on that journey, it was amazing, because within 6 months, I'd started the channel. Probably within 2 or 3 months of finishing that hike, I started the channel. And all of these just changes just started to happen. Like my outlook on the world completely changed. And that kind of started with the day after Camino. I discovered Ken Wilber's book, A Brief History of Everything, or A Theory of Everything, in a secondhand bookshop down in Cork. And it just, yeah, I think partly from that, and partly from the channel, and partly from the hike, I can't really separate what from what, but my outlook on the world has just completely shifted, in which the Jungian thing, rather than being the totality of my way of seeing the world, it's kind of just one aspect at play now. And it's part of a greater ecosystem of worldview, which has been really a really, really exciting intellectual journey. So I felt like I sort of transformed in that, and there was a sort of like a Pokemon evolving. And so I was kind of thinking about Camino at that. I was like, oh, it'd be nice to go on another long hike and see what would come out of that, and what kind of transformation would come out of that. And I was reading, before I went, Ian McGilchrist's The Master and His Emissary, which was absolutely fascinating. And in that, he's kind of talking about getting into a meditative space with the right hemisphere, which is a holistic, big picture kind of thinking. And it's about getting outside of your paradigm and connecting dots and transforming your vision of the world. And that was something that I found really quite fascinating. And the right hemisphere being the region of poetry and the region of the non-linguistic, the body, kind of felt very, yeah, it made me think about the Irish hike differently. And I'm looking forward to Camino. I was like, oh, I can kind of see how this is going to go. So I again decided not to be listening to any music. I put just poetry on my Kindle this time. And yeah, I kind of set out kind of thinking that we would see what would emerge from this. So I thought there would be this great settling of the mind and seeing what else would emerge. But then, yeah, it was, going into it, I was kind of like, okay, this could be, I know from previous years, there's a lot of fun and a lot of like great deep connecting, socializing that happens on Camino. And you just meet, it tends to attract a really great bunch of people. Yeah, I was kind of, I knew that there was that part, and then I was looking at it in terms of the Irish hike of like, oh, what could emerge? And I guess I had two different ideas going into it. And in a way, there's the one of the like, the settling and seeing what's going to emerge. And then there was the other, which ended up being a completely different thing, the social thing of like all these, having these conversations and these new inputs come in. And this kind of emerged within my Camino, but that was kind of my intention going into it. I was like, okay, let's let the dust settle. I've learned so much. I've been reading so much over the last couple of years since that last hike. And I kind of want to have some time to let my mind digest all that, because I feel like I've been consistently keeping moving. And so I haven't had a time to just let the dust settle and see what dot can connect. What have I been learning about that could connect in new ways? And maybe there's some transformation in the way that I could see the world that needs to be born. So that was kind of my intention going into it. That was, yeah, I don't know if that's the why that I did it. There was some obviously deep call for adventure as well, and a spiritual thing. Because it kind of came on the back of doing ayahuasca earlier in the year, that I made this commitment that I was like, yeah, I'm going to walk the whole thing. I think it was shortly after ayahuasca that I kind of made that decision. So it's kind of coming from, there was a spiritual under thing there, or some kind of like deeper soulful hunger that was coming out of why I wanted to do Camino. And then these were the kind of extra intentions or the extra things that were in my mind going into it, the whys. So yeah, that was why I did it. And then, yeah, I guess to answer the question of what my actual Camino journey was like, I would say there was actually a few different Camino journeys that I had. So the first week I walked with my mother, and we've never done anything like that. We've never spent like just the two of us spent that much time together, and doing something like that. I was a bit nervous. I wasn't sure how that was going to go, but it was actually just a really great experience. And we got on really well, and it was, yeah, we just had a lot of laughs, and she's a great walker as well. So we were just bombing it. We were going really fast. So it was good. We kind of had a really good rhythm to it. And it was a really wonderful week. And so that was beautiful, and that was its own thing. And she walked as far as Logroño, which is about 7 days hiking. And then the next few weeks, obviously, was me alone up to Via Franca del Bierzo. So maybe three weeks of hiking. And yeah, I kind of had two separate Caminos in that time. Because the first, coming out of that thing of just being me and my mom, and that kind of insular sort of experience, came along to this. Yeah, I didn't know that many people then, because we were in our own bubble. And then kind of coming out of that, had this really more solitary kind of experience. So I had a week where I'd had a rest day in Logroño with my mom. So I'd say I kind of thought a lot of the people that I'd met anyway, I wouldn't be seeing again. Foolishly thought that. But yeah, so I didn't really know many people, and I was kind of, I found I was just enjoying this walking alone, and I found this rhythm, and it was just this incredible flow of inspiration that was coming. And I found I would walk in the morning, and I would just be thinking about mundane things, where I'd stayed, where I'm going to stay tonight, what I have for breakfast and all that, when will I stop, what are the stops, oh, that's a beautiful view, all the surface kind of level stuff. And then between that, like this bit of inspiration would come up, this insight would occur to me. And then I'd get to the next coffee stop, get a cup of coffee, get an orange juice and a croissant, and then I'd just sit down and I'd write and I'd flesh out this insight that had come. And then I would walk again and the same process would repeat, and I just had this flow, and it was amazing. I could totally see Nietzsche's writings are, it's so obvious to me now that the aphoristic style is the style of it's writing. It's walking embodied in writing. It's the you're not even actively thinking. You're just letting the dots connect. You're just giving the soup of everything that's in your mind time to bubble together and click. And yeah, that section of my Camino was just incredibly inspired. And I was like, oh my God, I would have a book if I kept writing this stuff. And what was really interesting about what I was writing was that it wasn't because it was just for me. I wasn't thinking about the channel. I wasn't really thinking about writing for Substack or writing a book. It was kind of me piecing together all the things that I'd learned recently in the last few months and kind of projecting that into, well, what does it mean? What are the implications of this? And actually piecing together my own philosophy again and where I'm at now and the way I see the world now and what I think, what of all that. So it was just this emerging to me, and it was just, yeah, wonderful, a wonderful muse and a wonderful time. And that went on for about a week and a half, but it's very hard to not be social, you know? So, and the weather got better as well. Because the weather was it was a lot of clouds the first week and a half, 2 weeks. So eventually I ended up making some great friends and just kept running into people and meeting new people through those people, and just had some wonderful, deep, soulful connections with people. And yeah, and that was, I guess, just how the journey went for the next week or two until my group, who I've been walking with since 2018, came over. And yeah, we walked from Via Franca. I'd taken a couple of rest days in waiting for them. So again, I thought, oh, I won't see anyone. But then, of course, Camino, you always overlap with people. So wonderful. I met again some of my favorite people along the way. And yeah, it was just wonderful. So there was that initial time walking to Santiago with that group, and then coming to Santiago and the cathedral. And yeah, amazingly, I really thought the cathedral would have this profound thing for me. And I don't know whether this is because I knew I was going to Finisterre Beyond, or whether it's just where I'm at. But when I was in the church and this altar covered in gold, I've never seen so much gold and silver in a church before. And there's a lot of gold in a lot of churches along Camino. And there's a lot of beautiful churches along the way. And you go in and it's like really old stone, like 10th, 11th, 12th century churches. Really old stone. And then inside all this gold all over the altar. And it's a really, yeah, some of those churches are really beautiful and spiritual. And the gold feels like, it brings you into that transcendent space, or there is something spiritual in the gold. But then Santiago Cathedral, it just felt hollow to me. And I don't know, maybe it's just the 1,000 people in the church for the mass. But yeah, it did not have the effect I expected on me. And yeah, it didn't feel like an end to the journey at all. It didn't feel like this high point. It just felt like, yeah, it felt like the end of Catholicism to me, I guess, in a way. I'm still processing that, where just why that didn't sit with me. Just it seemed garish. And I'm normally not too fond when people are kind of like complaining about all this gold in the church and, oh, they should just take it down and feed all the people and all that. And I'm normally not on board with that, but it was just something in all that gold and silver that just, there was something in the experience that was very not spiritual for me. So yeah. From there I walked on to Finisterre, and that really did hit me. The ocean. Yeah, because walking the Camino Francés, you don't see the ocean. You don't see a big body of water, no sea, no ocean for 500 miles, over 500 miles. And then, yeah, when we're finally seeing it, and we're like, wow, the ocean again. This is something deeply moving about that. And it's just that primal religiosity, that primal connecting back into something greater. And yeah, coming to Finisterre, just a nice little spot, and then just wonderful beaches and the power of the Atlantic Ocean. It was just, yeah, that was a wonderful ending to it. So I feel like that section from Santiago to Finisterre was just this wonderful journey of harmony, and it very much felt like this ending, this coming to an end. And yeah, had some great time in Finisterre, and then came home. So yeah, I mean, it was, I guess I had that time of like writing and the inspiration, and that was very much like the dust settling. So that kind of reading Ian McGilchrist and thinking about the right hemisphere and these new dots connecting, it was very much in that time. But I feel like the later period, the social period, very quickly within a couple of days of like talking to a lot of different people, I just found it was too much inspiration. And there wasn't the quietness, and so it was like this filling up and this saturation of novelty and this all of this new impulse, I guess, just chaos of just like all this novelty. And I really feel like I need my Irish hike after my Camino to like process everything that I went through there. So yeah, I think in future I'd love to do what Nietzsche did. I would love to go to a place that is just latticed with walking trails, and to be able to go off and just cultivate inspiration, just go out and just let the mind settle and then capture those sparks and then come back and write them up. I think it would be great to go through a few weeks like that. Writing process is gorgeous. But yeah, so I guess I'm still in this processing phase. So I got back around the 18th of June, and I guess I've just been processing since then. I kind of thought, oh yeah, I had videos ready up to that date, and then I thought I'd get straight back into work. And then I just found I needed time to like sit and process. Like I just didn't, it was kind of like, yeah, it was procrastination, I guess, but I was kind of aware that I was thinking about the structuring communitas thing and how with liminality, with the kind of ritualistic space of being in this liminal space, when tribes have these rites of passage, so when a boy becomes a man or when a person becomes a chief or an elder, there's the ritual itself, there's the liminal space, but on either side of that, there's this separation, there's these buffer points between normal life of structure and that wild chaos of liminality. And on either side, there's the separation before, and then afterwards is the re-aggregation. And I can see the point of those now. And I was kind of thinking, okay, there's kind of a settling that needs to happen before re-engaging in the process. You need to let that transformation seep in rather than moving super quick from communitas into structure. So I was kind of taking that attitude, and yeah, I started reading books, and I read a few books on Marxian theory, and well, just on Marx, biographies of Marx and about Marxian theory. So that's been really interesting, and I guess more input. But yeah, just kind of settling, walking, catching up with friends and family, and settling back in, I guess. So it's been, yeah, it's been a big journey, and I'm still now, even like sitting down to write this stuff about Camino, or trying to come up with these episodes and stuff, or what I was going to say. Even that, I was like, oh wow, this is opening up into so much more. So there's still so much to process, so much depth in what's been gone through. But I have had some ideas on where the channel's going to go, what I want to focus on, what I want to do, and really close to 100,000 now, which is just mental, which is really crazy. And yeah, so it's just been a really transformative time, and I'm looking forward to the next year and seeing, I'm really getting into the work and seeing what's going to emerge, and hoping to add more depth or more connection with it all. But we'll see how it's going to go. But just really grateful to have had that journey for those amazing people that I met. Some great friends have come out of it, and yeah, just come home with new eyes and to be looking at the world with new eyes. And there's a freshness and a revitalization in that. So yeah, I guess that's just about everything that I wanted to say. It feels completely inadequate, but I think that would always be the case. But it's already gotten very long, so I'm not sure how entertaining this is going to be to listen to. But yeah, next episode I think I will look at the history of Camino and the significance of Camino within the history of Europe and philosophy. And yeah, there's very interesting inflection point. So yeah, until then, I guess, see you on the next episode. And like to thank David Bilabozzi and Bisofeisa and all the other patrons for their support to the channel. And as ever, there's a lot of bonus material over on Patreon for anyone that's interested, or if you just want to support the channel, very much appreciated. And yeah, otherwise I will see you next time. As ever, any thoughts, insights, or feedback, love to hear from you down below. And yeah, I would highly recommend walking the Camino. I guess that's the final takeaway. Yeah, see you next time. Thank you for watching.